If you were here last Sunday, you know that I was talking about the whole idea that the resurrection needs to be lived out every single day of our lives. And I talked about last week how Jesus came on a mission to rescue the world and restore all things, a mission to redeem humanity, a mission to turn ashes into beauty. I said last week, if you look at the Gospels, that all around him, Jesus encountered the brokenness, the ashes of people's lives. And when he encountered those ashes, Jesus made an exchange. He replaced the sickness and the isolation and the brokenness and the hopelessness and the despair, the ashes in people's lives, with something beautiful. And if you remember last week, you know I ended up the sermon with a question, and the question was this: where are you in relation to the cross? And in the morning I gave you four options. One was you're way over here, you're ways from the cross, and you're just trying to find out what Jesus is all about. And I encouraged you to come back, and if you're there and you came back, thanks for coming back, because I believe the love of Jesus will draw you into the cross and in the kingdom. And I said, some of you are here and you're on the wrong side of the cross because you have a death-centered view of Christianity, not a life-centered view of Christianity. And I said, some of you are also here on the cross. You're wanting to enter in, and we talked about how we enter in is through repenting and believing. And I said, some of you are also here. You're on the kingdom side of the cross where Jesus is king and you're living an empowered life. But then in the evening, I said, there's also a fifth spot you can be. And you can be anywhere on this spectrum. You can be here, you can be way over there, anywhere in between. And maybe you need Jesus to turn your ashes into something beautiful. And as I was driving home last week, I was thinking about the people in our church who really need that in many different ways. They need God to move and turn the ashes in their life into something beautiful. And so this morning, I want to take you to a story in Matthew 8 where Jesus does exactly that. He takes the ashes in someone's life and he turns it into something beautiful. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 4, it says this: when Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Let's go back to verse 1 and 2. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him. We don't know anything about this man. We don't know anything about his background, his family, his social life. All we know is he was a man with leprosy. And if you look at Luke's account of this story, he was a man full of leprosy. Luke, the doctor, said that. This was a man full of leprosy. Just hearing those words, leper or leprosy, would have made the people back then cringe and run for cover. Leprosy was a terrible disease. It affected the whole body, and it usually began with fatigue and pain in the joints. And then as the disease progressed, there was a loss of sensation in parts of the body. Scaly spots would develop on the skin, and then the body would become covered with pus-filled nodules. Slowly, the sufferer would become a mass of ulcerated growths. Eyebrows would fall out. The vocal cords would become ulcerated, and so your voice would become hoarse. There would be a progressive loss of fingers and toes until, in the end, a whole hand or a whole foot would fall off. And because the body was basically decomposing, lepers had a terrible stench about them. The course of the disease was usually about 9 years, and at the end of 9 years, the leper would die a horrible death. You can see why everyone was terrified of this disease. And because it was highly contagious, the Bible prescribed stringent regulations in order to control its spread. We find those in the Old Testament book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. And it says there that if a person suspected they had the disease, they were to go to a priest who would examine their skin. No, I don't want to examine your pus-filled nodules. Thank you, no. But that's what would happen back then. They would go to a priest. And if the priest thought that the person had leprosy, they would be declared unclean. And at that point, they had to start wearing torn clothes. They had to shave their head. They had to cover their mouth with a cloth to stop the spread of the disease. They had to stay at least 2 meters away from anyone more on a windy day. And if people were approaching a leper, or if a leper was approaching a person, he'd have to shout out, "Unclean! Unclean!" And the people would scatter. One of the worst aspects of leprosy was the social isolation the disease brought. Lepers were shunned, they were despised, they were completely estranged from society. People would throw stones at them to get them to go away. They no longer were able to go near or touch their family. In fact, most families regarded the afflicted person, the leper, as already dead. If you were a leper, rejection and isolation became a way of life. And that's why throughout the Bible, the leper is representative and symbolic of the outcast. He stands for any person in any era who has been isolated, rejected, or shunned. Which does raise the question, who are the lepers in our society today? Who are the people we shun in society? Who are the people we shun in the church? The mentally ill, drug addicts, prostitutes, First Nations peoples, those strange people that are out there, the homeless. And you may say, well, people don't shun the homeless. Do you know that this weekend in this city, there's a church activity going on that they're charging money to so they can keep the homeless out? You know what that makes me nauseous. I can't imagine what that does to Jesus. I think it probably makes him want to throw up that his church would charge money to keep the homeless out. And I would say in the church, maybe a leper for us is the LGBTQ community. We haven't done well engaging that community. We've shunned more than welcomed. Who are the lepers in our day? Now look what this leper does. Verse 2. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him. Jesus is on his way down the hillside and a leper spots him. And the leper knew he was taking a risk in approaching Jesus. He was going to have to act fast. Imagine this, right? Jesus is coming down this hillside. There's a large crowd. And the leper is trying to get through the crowd to Jesus. Imagine how that crowd reacted. I don't know if he was yelling unclean, but they would have spotted him and they would have just scattered. And the leper makes his way to Jesus and he kneels down before him. And back then, kneeling down before someone was done before gods and kings. And it seems by kneeling, this leper was acknowledging Jesus' power and authority. And the leper knelt before Jesus and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." A couple of thoughts about that statement. First, notice he was asked what he was asking for. "You can make me clean." He wasn't just asking for physical healing. This leper was asking to be made clean. Imagine what it would mean for that man, that leper, to go from being unclean to being clean. He would not just experience physical health, he would experience relational restoration. He'd be part of the community again. He could socialize with people again. He could worship with others again. He could be a husband and a father again. We're talking here about total healing. And second, you notice this man wasn't wrestling with whether or not healing was possible. He didn't need any convincing. He knew Jesus could heal him. The leper did not doubt Jesus' ability to heal. For him, the question was Jesus willing to heal him? He probably knew that Jesus had healed others, but this leper didn't assume that Jesus would heal him. He was bold in his approach. He didn't presume. He had confidence in Jesus, but he also had reverence for Jesus' will. And you know, that's a good way for us to approach God. Maybe this morning you're here and you need a healing touch from God. And I would encourage you to be like the leper. Be bold. Approach Jesus. Tell him your need. And then humbly submit yourself to his purpose and his will. Look how Jesus reacted in verse 3. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. That's incredible. Jesus didn't shun him. Jesus didn't tell him to go away. Jesus engaged a man that everyone wanted to ignore. In Mark's account of this incident, it says Jesus was moved with compassion. And as I've told you in previous sermons, compassion in the Greek in which the New Testament was written means to have a strong gut feeling that moves you to action. Jesus had this compassionate feeling in his gut. Have you ever had that? I'm sure you have. You've looked at a situation and you just have this compassionate feeling in your gut that you have to do something. I'll never forget, as long as I live, driving years ago now in Mexico with Tom Card, and we were down there to build a house, and it was early in our house building days down there, and we drove past this abandoned bus, the picture's out on the wall out there, and this bus, and I looked at Tom, and I said, Tom, tell me something, somebody is not living in that bus. Tom found out a single mom with 5 kids was living in this bus. This dilapidated bus that we wouldn't even put in a junkyard here. And when I heard that, something inside of me moved me with compassion to do something. And we ended up building a house because of the blessing of this church and the people that went down for that family. Yesterday, I was sitting in my study early in the morning, and I was just thinking about some of the pain that some of you are going through. And that moment of just thinking about some of the situations of people in this church, right, within me welled up compassion in my gut. And I just called out to God for people in this church. That's what Jesus is talking about here. That's what Mark's saying Jesus felt. He saw this leper in front of him, this person who was isolated, who was dying of this disease. And Jesus reached out and Jesus touched him. That's incredible that Jesus would do that. That act of compassion moved Jesus to do something that would have made every single person there gasp. Because, see, remember, the law forbid the touching of a leper. And yet Jesus purposely reached out his hand and touched the man. In that act of compassion, Jesus broke the rules. And he reached out his hand and he touched a terribly diseased man. See, listen, here's a lesson for us. Here's something for us to learn. With Jesus, compassion wins out over religious rules. Isn't that awesome? With Jesus, compassion wins out over religious rules. We need to learn that. We need to allow the compassion of Jesus to well up in us and allow the compassion to win out of some of the silly religious rules that the church sometimes has. Can you hear the crowd gasp? As they see Jesus reach out and touch this unclean man. I mean, Jesus was touching someone who even the disciples had deemed unclean. Most people would have healed the man first and then touched him. That would have made sense. But not my Jesus. My Jesus reached out and touched this man first. And I don't know what that leper expected. I think he probably expected to be run off at best, stoned to death at worst. imagine his surprise when Jesus reaches out his hand and he touches him. And then Jesus said this, I love this, I am willing, be clean. When a person who was clean touched someone who was unclean, they would become unclean. And here, for the first time in recorded history, the flow is miraculously reversed. It was not Jesus who became unclean. It was the unclean man who became clean. You notice what it says? Immediately the leper was cleansed of his leprosy. When Jesus speaks, everything changes. Imagine being there. Imagine, think about it in your mind. Just imagine being there and watching this distorted mass be transformed in an instant. His face became normal. His eyebrows grew back. His voice became normal. His ruined skin became smooth. His shattered, maybe missing hands and feet grew back. Immediately, he was transformed. And then Jesus says something really bizarre. In verse 4, he says, then Jesus said to him, see that you don't go tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Why would Jesus say that? Don't go tell anyone, but go to the temple. Now, it wasn't that Jesus didn't want this man to ever tell anyone, but he wanted the man to follow some protocol. First, he wanted the man to follow the Old Testament requirements. If a recovered leper needed to have the temple priest examine him, so the priest who declared him unclean could certify that he was healed and now ritually clean. And then the man needed to offer appropriate sacrifices, which we find out in Leviticus 14 consisted of two birds. And secondly, I think Jesus wanted the man to go to the priest at the temple as a testimony to him. The man's miraculous healing would be an indication to the religious leaders that the Messiah, Jesus, had really come. It's an incredible encounter. Jesus turned ashes into beauty. He said, I'm willing. And immediately the man's ashes were turned into beauty. Here's a couple of thoughts for us today. Here's the first one. Maybe like that leper, you need Jesus to touch your life today. Maybe you need Jesus to turn some ashes into beauty in your life. You know, I'm crazy enough to believe that Jesus still wants to bring healing to the brokenhearted. I'm crazy enough to believe that even today, Jesus wants to heal people who are relationally brokenhearted. I believe Jesus wants to just come in and turn the ashes of relational heartbreak into something beautiful. I believe Jesus still wants to bring liberty to the captives today. Some of you are struggling with addiction. Some of you are struggling with other stuff, and you're captive to it. I believe Jesus wants to turn those ashes of addiction into something beautiful. And I believe Jesus wants to bring sight to the blind. I believe Jesus wants to heal people physically today. I remember a few years ago, Ian will remember this, we were down in Mexico together, we were building a house, and the dad of the family was sick in bed, and he just was not feeling well, and Sue Card, who was our missionary down there at the time, said, can you get a couple of people together and come and pray for this person? We went in, and this guy looked sick, and we put our hands on him, and we prayed, and about an hour later, he was up, walking around, totally felt fine. God used those prayers to heal that man. I believe God still wants to heal today. Let me ask you this morning, are there ashes in your life that Jesus needs to turn into something beautiful? Do you need to experience the life-giving touch of Jesus today? I believe this morning Jesus is saying to some of you here today, I want to touch your life. Like I touched the life of the leper, I want to touch your life. I want to turn your ashes into beauty. Now, I'm not sure what his touch will look like, but I'm certain that Jesus wants to touch some lives today. And so the question is, are you willing to kneel before him and tell him your needs and open yourself up to his love and his grace and his healing touch? Jesus came to a broken world to mend broken people. Thus, we need to pray expectantly for the breaking in of heaven. We need to pray earnestly for healing. And then we need to do what the leper did. We need to leave the working out of our prayers up to God, for his ways are not our ways. You know, as I look back on how God has worked in people's lives when it comes to healing, I sometimes see people prayed for and they're healed in conventional ways, through doctors, through medicine. I sometimes see people we pray for, they're not healed of the disease, but they're healed in their soul, they're healed in their spirit, they're healed in their emotions. I sometimes see people we pray for, and we pray for healing earnestly, and they die, and I can't explain that sometimes. I still wonder why God took Allison Card at 27 years old, prayed for healing, number of you did, number of churches did. I don't understand that. Sometimes God's ways are not our ways, and they're too mysterious to understand. But I also believe that God does heal miraculously. I've seen it. I saw a girl who was deaf healed. I saw a guy that had terrible back pain and was crippled healed instantly, never to have that pain again. I believe God can heal. And I believe we're called to be people that pray expectantly for God's healing touch on our lives. So my question today to you, do you need Jesus to touch your life like he touched the life of the leper? Do you need God to take something in your life that's ashes and turn it into something beautiful? And here's the second thing I want us to reflect on today. Maybe you need to let Jesus touch others through you. Maybe you need to let Jesus touch others through you. Because the primary way God touches us today is through the touch of others. And maybe God wants to use you and work through you to turn the ashes in someone's lives to something beautiful. When we look at the Gospels, as we've already said this morning, we see time and time again, as Jesus encountered people, he felt compassion for them. And that compassion propelled them or him to act. And that same compassion should grip our lives and cause us to act. What if that happened? What if for the people in this room today, we opened ourselves up and the compassion of Jesus gripped our lives and caused us to act? What would that look like? What if we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us with the same compassion that Jesus had and has? A compassion that causes us to engage people that everyone else wants to avoid. A compassion that propels us to act. A compassion that causes us to set aside our religious rules. A compassion that causes us to pray boldly and expectantly for Jesus to turn people's ashes into something beautiful. Look around you. As you go through your week, look around you. All around you, there's brokenness, there's sickness, there's pain, there's hopelessness, there's ashes in people's lives. And Jesus wants to work through you to turn the ashes in people's lives into something beautiful. Remember, if you're a Christ follower here, you're called to be a kingdom bringer. As the Father sent me, Jesus said, so I send you. If you're in his kingdom and he's your king, he's sending you, you're to be a kingdom bringer. So let me ask you this morning, will people be whole in the kingdom to come? The answer is yes. Then as kingdom bringers, we can help others start to experience the wholeness that comes from Jesus in the here and now. Will evil abide in God's future kingdom? Answer, no, of course not. then as kingdom bringers empowered by the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, we can help people get rid of the impact of evil and the demonic in their lives in the here and now. Where there be sickness in the kingdom come. When the kingdom comes in all its fullness, will there be sickness? No, of course not. Then as kingdom bringers, we can pray for healing breakthroughs here and now. Imagine what would happen if hundreds of us went out tomorrow morning as kingdom bringers. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. People willing to be moved by the same compassion that moved Jesus. People willing to reach out and touch the leper. People willing to bring heaven to earth. Imagine what could happen. Actually, we don't have to imagine. I'll tell you what would happen. If 800 people from Sandwich Baptist Church went out into the city as kingdom bringers, said, we're here to bring up there, down here, I'll tell you what would happen. Lives would be transformed. People in the city would begin speaking differently about Jesus and his church. Workplaces, schools, and neighborhoods would be impacted, and Jesus would be glorified. Three questions for you as we close this morning. Here's question number one. Are you willing to let compassion of Jesus grip your life? Are you willing to let the compassion of Jesus grip your life? Question number two, are you willing to be a kingdom bringer? Are you willing to go out this week and say, God, use me to bring up there, down here? And number three, do you need to experience God's healing touch in some way in your life today? Do you need him to turn your ashes into something beautiful? Jesus has the ability to heal and to restore and a make whole. Are you willing to let Jesus do a work in your life? That leper got down on his knees and said, God, if you're willing. And Jesus said, I'm willing. And I think Jesus is saying the same thing to you this morning. I'm willing. Will you let him? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning, and thank you for this word of the leper. Ashes into beauty. God, I pray that you would do that in this room in people's lives. There are some people here carrying heavy stuff. Relational stuff, financial stuff, health stuff. God, you need to turn ashes into beauty. I pray that you would move in a miraculous and powerful way in people's lives. May your healing touch come upon people's spirits and bodies and minds. Father, I pray that you would just heal people's emotions. And then I pray you'd send us out to be kingdom bringers. People who let the compassion of Jesus grab us. And as the compassion of Jesus grabs us, God, I pray that we go out and you would empower us by the same power that raised Jesus from the dead to bring up there, down here, as you work through us. And may we give all the glory as lives are transformed. In Jesus' name, amen.